The first reading today, God tells us through the prophet Hosea that we have fallen down in our iniquity, that we have sinned against the Lord, that we have transgressed and pulled away from him. And it's interesting what the Lord says to the people that they are supposed to do. Not anything overly extraordinary, but rather he says, take with you words and return to the Lord your God and say to him, take away all iniquity and receive the good, and we will render calves from our lips. Take with you words. He didn't say, sacrifice the golden calf, sacrifice your firstborn, give me all your money, sell your house. He didn't say anything extraordinary. Take with you words. Now comes the rub. Because any of us can say anything. The words have to mean something. The words have to come from the depths of our heart. And that's exactly what we hear about in the reading. We hear about this woman who most people would understand to be Mary Magdalene. She comes before our Lord and does all of these beautiful things for him. And the people are scandalized because she's a sinner. Really, they're not? I mean, think about that. If somebody came before us today and we're all going to stand here and say, oh, that person's a sinner. Think what you're saying. Good thing you created me, God, that I'm not sinful like that one. Really? Precisely the point that our Lord is making in the gospel. Who's going to love him more, the one who is forgiven a large amount or the one who's forgiven a little? Now, in case you want to look at it and say, well, thankfully I haven't been out committing all kinds of mortal sins, so I only have to be forgiven of a little. The Lord says, well, then you're not going to love him very much, are you? You have to look at it the other way. First of all, if you have not committed any huge sins, praise God. But that's the grace of God at work in you. But the fact is, if that kind of grace is at work in you, then that means you knew better than to commit the smaller sins that you committed. Which means that somebody with your level of holiness actually committed a pretty big sin. Even though objectively it's rather small, subjectively it's quite large. Now, that person who we would have dragged up in front of here to call a sinner, we don't know what's happened in that person's life. Maybe that person was abused as a child. Maybe that person was rejected. Maybe that person was abandoned. We have no idea. And so, yes, some people who go through some horrible, traumatic things in their youth, they wind up acting out in ways that are awful. But God knows what's in that person's soul. God knows why that person is doing what they're doing. And he might look at you and me and say, compared to that person, your sins are way bigger. Maybe not objectively, but subjectively. And we could look at it and say, if we knew what that person has endured in their life, we could honestly look at ourselves and say, if I had to go what that person went through, I would have been doing a whole lot worse than they are. The grace of God in them is maybe keeping them from even bigger things. Just as the grace of God in you and me is keeping us from bigger things. So I remind you again to look at the saints, including the ones who never in their entire lifetime committed a mortal sin. And what will they tell you? I am the worst sinner that ever lived. They're not saying that they committed the worst possible sins. They're just looking at themselves and they're looking at their relationship with the Lord and they're saying, I knew better than that. And I did it anyway. Exactly what you and I can say, right? and they look at themselves and recognize that they have offended God. And they think themselves to be way worse than the person we would have dragged up front and said, that person is a sinner. No, the saints actually would have been like the elders in Israel who, when that sinful woman who had been caught in the act of adultery, they wanted to stone her. Jesus said, let the one who's without sin be the first to cast a stone at her. They all dropped their stones and went home, because all they could do is say, who am I to throw a stone at this person? Because I deserve a boulder dropped on me. Ha, who am I to throw a stone? That's the way we have to learn to look at things. Not judging everyone else, judging ourselves. This woman, yes, was doing some horrible things. She was known throughout the whole area for her lewdness. And yet, she found Jesus. And because she found Jesus, she repented. She converted. All those tears that she cried in secret, because all of her lovers that simply used her and destroyed her and violated her in whatever way they could, she would go home and cry. In the ancient world, they saved their tears. They actually had little tear vases, red ones and blue ones. The red ones were the happy tears and the blue ones were the sad tears. They literally were little jars with little cutout that would actually go right around their cheek, and they put it right up to their cheek, and as they would cry, the tears would go right into the vase, and then they would put a cork on it, and they saved their tears. So I'm sure, yes, as this woman came to the Lord, she was crying tears of repentance, tears of joy. But she brought that little vase, and she poured them out on our Lord's feet, because she found the forgiveness of her sins, because she found the means of salvation for her soul, because she actually found a man who truly loved her rather than used her and violated her. And the gratitude that she had for the mercy of God was poured out literally on his feet. How about us? How grateful are we for the mercy of God? Do we just take it for granted? Do we go to confession and bring words, but that's all they are? Or do we go to confession and speak words that come from the heart? Do we truly recognize what it is that we have done to our blessed Lord? And do we truly recognize what he's doing for us? We do not deserve to have our sins forgiven. We do not deserve the salvation of our souls. We haven't earned it. We haven't done anything. It is a gift. So how grateful we need to be. Oh, if we earned it, then it's a matter of justice. Well, God owed it to me to be able to do this. That was just the payment for all my goodness. I have served him so perfectly and so well that I deserve all the goodness. Yeah, right. I don't suspect there's anyone here today who can say that. So therefore, it is a pure gift. And our gratitude should be just like this woman in the gospel. And we are the ones then who should be standing up in front. And rather than pointing a finger at anyone else, it needs to be pointed right here and say, I am a sinner. If you knew who it was who was there, as the Pharisee said, if this man was truly a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is. She's a sinner. So am I. Is there any one of us who can sit there and say, I'm not? That's the perspective we have to have. And we need to have the same gratitude that this woman had. It doesn't have to be for show. It's not like we have to work ourselves up and do a lather and we need to be crying or something. No, not that. But the love that we have for our Lord, the one who has been forgiven more is the one who is supposed to love more. Well, we've been forgiven a tremendous amount. Every last one of us, whether you've never committed a mortal sin or whether you've committed the worst mortal sin, every one of us has been forgiven a huge amount, way more than we could ever repay. And the gift of God must be received with gratitude, and our sins must be confessed with humility. So bring with you words, words that come not off the tongue but from the heart, and confess your sins honestly and humbly. And with that heart open from which the words proceed, receive the gift of God. Receive the forgiveness of your sins, the salvation of your soul, and walk out not just simply forgiven, but walk out full of gratitude for the mercy of God who loves you so much.